Let me lead you in prayer as we come to our God in prayer together. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to adore you this morning. We bless you that you are the God who creation rejoices in. You are the God who knows all things. You are the God who has secured for us the gift of eternal life. Through your Son, you set our feet upon a rock. You've given us a new heart. You've put a new song into that heart. You've placed us into a loving family, the church. And you've called us to live under your loving reign. Lord, we praise you this morning for such privileges as your people. Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the beauty of this day. We thank you for the occasion of this day. Lord, we thank you that some gather this morning here on Mother's Day with their happiness and thankfulness in their hearts. For others, Lord, we acknowledge that today is a day of sadness, a painful reminder of disappointment or loss. And whether we come in happiness or sadness, we come to you and we commit ourselves to you, that in you we may find our all in all. We ask, gracious Father, that during this service you would help us. Help us as we think of Jesus. And as we do so, would you show us yourself in your wisdom, in your power, in your holiness, in your justice, in your goodness, and in your truth. Help us, we pray, to adore you. Amen. Boys and girls, would you want to come to the front? It's great to see you this morning. I said, come and take a seat. Can you squeeze in? You've no idea how important it is to get the right seat. Great, okay, lovely. Now, boys and girls, I'm going to read. You're going to read from the Bible to start with, okay? And all the adults, if you want, you can follow it. It's in page 952. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The words will come on the screen as I read through. And this is the... I'm going to read a few verses and then just show you the one line that we're going to look at this morning in more detail. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's page 952 in the church Bibles, and starting to read from verse 26. This is what that passage says, okay, boys? I'll talk to you after I read this, boys and girls, okay? It says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." The line we're going to concentrate on through the service comes from, the theme of the service comes from this line: "Because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Okay? Now, boys and girls, tell me about the sorts of jobs. It's Mother's Day, isn't it? Tell me about the sorts of jobs your mum does for you. Okay? What sort of things does mum do?
She cooks dinner.
Great.
Does the washing.
Does the washing. Brilliant.
Go shopping.
Tidy your room. You're supposed to... Okay, mummy tidies your room. Okay, great. Anything else?
Tidy the
Tidies downstairs as well as your... Tidies the kitchen as well? Brilliant. Okay.
Do your bedding.
Brilliant. She hoovers. It sounds like mummies are very, very busy people. Is that right? That's great to have an opportunity like Mother's Day to say thank you, mummy, isn't it? Thank you for all the work we do, or all the work you do for us. Grown-ups, who's that? George Osborne. He's hit the news recently, hasn't he? Because he's been busy, just like our mums. He's picked up another job, hasn't he? And people are scratching their heads. How's he going to do that job as well as everything else he does? That's George Osborne. Your mums are busy. Other people are busy. I want to talk to you today about 1, 2, 3 jobs that Jesus does. Okay, can you see those 4 words? What does Jesus do? We're going to look at 3 jobs that Jesus does. And for each of the jobs, I'm going to give you a little picture that hopefully might help you think about what Jesus does. This is the first one, okay? Any idea what I'm thinking of there? Any idea what I'm thinking about from that picture? He does do that. He does do that. That's a really good answer. He does wash us clean. That's a brilliant answer. Yeah. Yeah, he talks. That's a speech bubble, isn't it? Jesus speaks, doesn't he? He speaks. He tells us things that we need to know. He's a kind of a messenger. And in the Bible, a messenger from God is given a special name. Are you ready? I'm going to say it and put it on there as well. Can anybody read what that word says? Daniel, what does that say? Yeah, thank you, Daniel. Oh, you know what? There's too many Daniels. I'm looking at Daniel, and there's Daniel there. You were working that out, weren't you, Daniel? That says prophet. Thank you, Daniel. That says prophet, okay? A messenger from God is given a special name, and it's prophet, okay? Can any boys and girls help me think? Do you know of any names of any prophets in the Old Testament? Okay, there's some really good names, okay? Some short, some long. Any idea of prophets, names of prophets in the Old Testament? Jewel. Do you know of any prophets in the Old Testament? Yes, good answer. Just pointed to himself. Joel's one of the prophets, that's right. Daniel, do you know of any prophets in the Old Testament? You can see where this is going, can't you? Daniel, any idea of any prophets? Do you know what you could do for an answer? You could point to yourself, because there's a man in the Bible called Daniel who tells people what God says. Okay. Anybody else? Samuel. Good answer. Samuel. Any Nathans in the church? Nathan. Zach. It's not quite Zach, is it? He's in the Bible, but the prophet is called Zechariah. Yeah, very similar. So we've got Daniels, we've got Jewels, we've got Samuels, we've got Nathans, we've got Zacharias. Anybody called Habakkuk? No? Funny that, isn't it? Okay. Lots of different prophets, okay? One of the most famous ones was a man called Moses, okay? Were you about to say Moses? Oh, sorry, sweetheart. Moses is one of the most famous. And God made Moses a promise, okay? And this is what he said. Well, let me say it and see if it's the same thing, okay? All right. God told Moses that one day a great prophet would come, okay? A great prophet would come and the people would have to listen to him, okay? Now, do you know how many years they wait? Do you know how many years they wait for that great prophet to come? Hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. Let me give you a clue who it was. Don't spoil it. This man took a boy's lunch. Jesus. And he fed 5,000 people with one lunch. And as people were going home with full tummies, somebody said, "Is this the prophet that God promised Moses?" Is this the one we have to listen to? Okay? There's a really good story about Jesus. Okay? Not everybody liked to hear the words that Jesus told us. Okay? You watch, boys and girls? Listen. Some people want to get Jesus in trouble. Really in trouble. They wanted to arrest him. Okay? So what they did was this. They sent people, like a police force, to go and arrest Jesus. Okay? Get him and take him away. So the police force went to get him. And they came back without Jesus. Empty-handed. They didn't have him with them. Okay? They found him. They listened to him. And this is what they said when they came back. Because the men said, "Why haven't you got Jesus with you?" And this is what they said. They said, "No one ever spoke like him. No one ever spoke like this man. We've heard lots of people teach, lots of people say things, but no one teaches like him. You want us to arrest him? No way. We're not arresting him. He's special." That's what they were saying, okay? Boys and girls, not everybody wants to listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus speaks God's words to us. Not everybody wants to listen. When they were putting Jesus on the cross, they wanted to ignore his words. They wanted to ignore his words. They wanted to forget what he said. Okay? But Jesus said, if you listen to me, you'll have life. You'll have life. I'm the prophet who speaks God's words to you. Now, it's really hard listening to Jesus now, because he's not here, is he? We can't listen to his voice in the same way that they could then. But the Bible says that the Bible is God speaking to us. And this is something, not just for boys and girls, it's for the grown-ups as well. One of the verses in the Bible says this. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. When we listen to Jesus, we hear God speak to us. When we read the Bible, we hear God speak to us. Boys and girls, you know the story of Adam and Eve? In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve decided to not listen to Jesus. Or to not listen to God. And when Jesus comes, he shows that actually we have to listen to him. Because through that we can live. Brilliant. Boys and girls, have a sit down. We're going to pray. And I'm going to ask you to go back and sit with your mums and dads. Okay? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that when you speak, we can hear God talking to us. We pray for all of us. You'd help us to do that today. We pray for all of us. You'd help us to do that every day. We would know what it is to grow in knowing how special you are. Help us for the rest of the service to learn lots of things about the jobs that you do, Lord Jesus. Amen. Boys and girls, you're not going to go to your Sunday school today, junior church. You're going to go back to your mums and dads, okay? So if you go there now, that'll be great, okay? Thank you. I'm going to ask Pastor Johnny to come and speak about the RBT program that we're starting very soon. Thank you, Johnny.
Morning, everybody. The Bible is amazing. It's not just the best selling book ever. It really is the best book. And the reason it's the best book is because of what it is. This really is God's word. The question isn't, has God spoken? The question is, are we listening? You know, some books inform, some books reform. Here's a book that transforms millions of people over the last 2,000 years can testify to the fact that this book is a book that has changed their lives. It's a collection of 66 books held together in two testaments, we call them the Old Testament and the New Testament, written by 40 different writers over 1,500 years. But here's the thing, it has one divine author. Here's a book from God. And the storyline is one continuous storyline from Genesis, the first book of the Bible, right through to Revelation, the last book. This is a book about Jesus. We've just been singing those words now. Over the next 3 years, we as a church are planning to read the Bible cover to cover from Genesis through to Revelation. I know many of you signed up to do that. We're thrilled about that. If you haven't done that, we'd like to invite you to do that this morning. We'd love you to join us in that. Let me tell you of what we're planning to do tonight. Tonight, I'm planning to preach an overview of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. It's foundational to the whole of the storyline. I don't know if you ever watched the program, Who Do You Think You Are? And they trace the family line right back in time. If you ask that question of yourself, you can find the answer to that question in the book of Genesis. And that's what we're going to be doing tonight. We're going to be opening up that book and seeing what the foundational themes are for this amazing book. So I invite you to come and do that tonight. I'll be giving a little handout as well you can take away with you to help you in your reading this coming month. So through the month of April, we're going to be reading Genesis together. And then the first week in May, we're going to meet in smaller groups and discuss, think about, talk through the things we've been reading in Genesis. If you're not in a group yet, you'd like to be in a group, come and see me afterwards. I'd be more than happy to do that, to put you in a group. Thank you.
That's the first job that Jesus does. You may be thinking, hang on a second, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 doesn't mention anything about a prophet. It doesn't. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about Jesus becoming to us the wisdom from God. We are made wise by God when we listen to Jesus and all his words. So that's the prophet. That's the first job that Jesus does. And as a prophet, he speaks God's words to us. Just going to leave that picture up at the top, and we're going to look at the second job. Before we do, let's have a think about mucky wellies. Just imagine, boys and girls, you go home today and you go out in the garden after lunch. You get your wellies on, it's mucky, and because it's warm, you've got no gloves on. So very soon your wellies get dirty, your hands get dirty, and then you find it. You find the one thing that you know your mum would like for a Mother's Day present, a big, fat, juicy worm. And you feel you have to run into the house with this big, fat, juicy worm in your mucky hands with your mucky wellies and give it to her with all your love. Mums have a radar for that sort of thing, haven't they? They hear the feet from the garden come to the back door, and the mums know what's going to happen. Don't you dare. That's what I would have heard as a boy. Don't you dare come in that door with those mucky feet. What would come next? What's the instruction? Take them off. Take them off. What's mum talking about? Taking the wellies off so you don't get all your muck brought into the house. Has that any, forget the big fat juicy worm. Has that ever happened to you, boys and girls? Have you ever been told, take them off before you come in? Well, this job of Jesus is about us being made clean so we can come in. Okay? This job of Jesus is about us being made clean so we can come in. If the first job was Jesus being a messenger, a prophet, the second job is Jesus being a mediator. Now, boys and girls, you know what a mediator is, don't you? Because you've got those at school, haven't you? You've got peer mediators, haven't you? And what they do is if there's a fight or an argument or someone's upset in the playground, a peer mediator can help two people who are arguing become friends. Isn't that right? So the mediator stands in the middle. Well, Jesus does that. He stands in the middle of God and us. We're the ones who are filthy and need cleaning. And God is the one who is pure and can only know us when we're clean. This job, it's another P. The first one's prophet. The second job is, see if you can remember this. See over lunchtime today, See, remember these three words. See that? What does that word say, boys and girls? Can you read that one? Short. Priest. Thank you. So the first job is Jesus was a prophet. The second, Jesus is a priest. Let me show you this picture. This is a picture of a dragon. It's a dragon from a story written by C.S. Lewis. The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. The Dawn Treader is a ship, and it follows the journeys of the ship and those who are on it. And one of the characters on the ship is a boy called Eustace. Eustace is not a nice boy. You wouldn't want him in your class. You wouldn't want him in your house. Okay? Eustace, during the story, comes across dragon's gold. He comes across lots and lots of gold and treasure. And what happens is he starts to get greedy, just like a dragon. And in the story, this is a pretend story, he turns into Eustace the dragon. And he's really sad because he's realized how greedy he's become. He's realized what kind of a boy he's been like to all his friends. And he comes to the point where he wants to be made different. He wants to be made clean. And in the story, he meets Aslan the lion. Aslan's the hero of all the stories. And Aslan brings him to a well, a big, deep, clear well. And he says, if you can get in there, it'll make you clean. But first, you have to undress. And Eustace the dragon realizes he means he has to take off his dragon skin. So Eustace starts to claw at his scales. And his scales start to fall off. And then his skin starts to fall off. That's what happens with snakes, and they can shed their skin. And in one part of the story, Eustace is describing this, but he says, and my skin fell off beautifully, just as if I was a banana. That's what he says. Okay? So the skin comes off, and he steps towards the well to go in, only to realize he's in the same problem. He's got new skin, but it's dragon skin. So he does the whole thing again. He claws at himself, he takes off his skin, and he steps out of that one. He leaves one behind, he's about to step into the pool, but he's still a dragon. He's still got the dragon skin on, and he does it again, three times. And not once can he make himself different. And then Aslan says, I'll have to undress you. And Aslan takes off the dragon skin. All of it. Puts him in the well. And Eustace says, as I swam in the water, I became different. I became a boy again. And he's made different. Well, in that story, the point is, Eustace couldn't make himself different. Somebody had to do it for him. And in the Bible, God makes it very clear. As we are to God, dirty. Because of our sin, in our hearts, we don't want God as God. We want to be God. In our hearts, we are dirty. But He is the one who has to make us clean. He's the one that can change us. We can't do that ourselves. And this is how He does it. This is how God makes filthy people clean. He makes somebody else die in their place. I want you to imagine two boys in the Old Testament watching beside the temple. One boy is about 6 years old, and he's watching for the first time, understanding for the first time what's happening as the priest goes into the temple. And he's got his big brother with him, and his brother's answering the questions that he's got for him. The younger boy starts to walk towards the priest, thinking he can follow the priest into the temple. And his brother just pulls him back. Has that ever happened to you, boys and girls? You know, being pulled back from the end of a road? You can't go there. And the little boy says to his brother, why can't I follow him in there? And the older brother says, well, it's only the priest can go in there. He's going to meet with God for us. God says only he can go in, not us. The boy stands there. Okay. But as he watches the priest, the priest has got something in his hands. What's he got in his hands? He asks his brother. That's an animal. That's a sacrifice, says the older brother. But why is it dead? Says the young boy. And the brother says, it's dead because for the guilt of our sins, we deserve to die. And that animal has taken our place. Boy thinks for a while. How do we know this works? How can an animal die in our place that we can be clean before God? How does that work? And the older brother simply says, whenever the priest comes out, we know that God has forgiven us. So they stand and they watch and they wait. And the priest comes out and the people know that God has accepted that sacrifice for their sin. And they rejoice. And the little boy gets it. He gets it. That when something dies in the place of the guilty can be forgiven. That scene was played out time after time, year after year, decade after decade, century after century, until one day a sacrifice is made that changes everything. It's a sacrifice not of an animal, but of a man. It's not taken, it's given. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay it down. So it's a willing sacrifice. And it's not repeated. We're told in the Bible, we're told that it's a sacrifice made once for all time. It will never be repeated again. But we know it's been accepted because 3 days after Jesus died on the cross as the sacrifice, he's raised to life again. And we know this forgiveness of God because he comes out, showing that God has accepted that sacrifice. That's what Jesus was doing as our priest. He was bringing to God the sacrifice for the guilt of our sin. As prophet, he speaks to us the words of God. As priest, he brings to God the sacrifice for the guilt of our sin. That's what he did then. So we come to this verse in the Bible. It says this, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, or if you like, the innocent for the guilty, the pure for the filthy. That's the idea. That he might bring us to God, that we might be forgiven and cleansed. God has to do the cleansing, and through Jesus dying on the cross, he does cleanse, he does forgive. And that's the second job that Jesus does. He goes to God with a sacrifice for the guilt of our sin. In 1 Corinthians that I read earlier, we looked at Jesus Christ becoming to us the wisdom from God when we listen to him. He's God's wisdom given to us. He also becomes our, what the Bible calls our righteousness. God cleansing us and clothing us in his complete perfection. That's what Jesus does as our priest. He gives us his righteousness. In other words, boys and girls, the first job that Jesus does, can you remember what that one is? Can anybody remember what that one is? Louisa? He's a prophet, yeah. Can anybody remember what the second, he speaks God's word to us. Anybody remember what the second job that Jesus does is called? It's another P. He's our priest, yeah, thank you. He goes to God with a sacrifice for the guilt of our sins. Here's the last job you need to remember. Okay? This picture is dead easy. Okay? What do you think that picture is about? Jesus' job is there? He's the king. Yeah, he's the king. Okay? He's a prophet. He's a priest. And he's a king. You see, part of the problem when Adam and Eve stopped listening to God and became filthy in God's eyes, we become just like that. We don't naturally listen to God's voice. We don't naturally be his friends. So Jesus has to come and speak to us so we hear God's voice. He has to cleanse us to bring us to be friends with God. But also, In Adam and Eve's heart, they didn't want to follow God. And we're just like that. Naturally, we don't want to follow God. There's a book that I'm reading at the moment. It's not a big theological book. It's called The Tanglewood Secrets. Hands up if you've read that one. Look at that. Okay, it was written decades ago. In that book, there's a little girl called Ruth, and she stays in a house. She's living in a house, and close to the house is a wood that she plays in. And one day she's playing in the wood, and she bumps into a man called Mr. Tandy. Mr. Tandy is a shepherd, and he's looking for a lost lamb. And he asks Ruth, "Can you help me look for the lamb?" They can hear it, and so they have to find it and rescue it. And she's inquisitive. She's trying to work out, why would the lamb run away, get lost, and get in trouble? So she asks the shepherd the question, why would he run away? And this is the answer that the shepherd gives. Well, I reckon he's just like the rest of us. He likes his own way. And his own ways led him into trouble, poor little chap. And with that, they rescue the sheep, and he brings it home. The reason why I share that story is because that's the picture the Bible uses of you and me. Left on our own, we're just like sheep who like our own way. To put it in different terms, we don't want Jesus as King or as Lord. Okay? Left to ourselves, we want to run our own lives. But then Jesus comes and he starts to rule. He starts to show that he can rule everything. So boys and girls, I've got some clues to give you to help you see ways in which Jesus shows us he can rule the world. Okay? Let's see if you can spot these clues. Can you think of anything? What's this? It's a, just shout out, it's a lunchbox, isn't it? Okay, lunch bag. Is that a clue, something that Jesus did that shows us he's powerful, he's got authority, he can do things that nobody else can do? Anybody ever think about that? What did Jesus do with one boy's packed lunch? Zara. He fed 5,000 people with one boy's lunch. Sometimes one boy's lunch doesn't feed one boy, let alone 5,000 people. But he fed 5,000 people. What was he showing? He was showing that he has authority to do lots of special things. That's one of the ways that Jesus shows that he can rule the world. Here's another way. Anybody tell me what that is? Anybody tell me what that is? Yeah, it's a first aid box. If somebody falls ill during the service, the first aid box is normally there, is here, okay? All right. It's a first aid box, okay? Give you a clue as to how Jesus might be able to rule the world? Yeah, he does help people. How does he help people? If you use a first aid box, it's because people are poorly or sick. Can you think of anybody that was poorly or sick that Jesus helped? He heals people. Grown-ups, you can join in. Just shout out. What kind of people did Jesus heal? The blind man, thank you. Jairus' daughter, thank you. The leper, thank you. Don't stop there, come on. Paralyzed man, the lame man. Demon possessed, yeah, thank you, evil spirits. Paralyzed, yeah. Lots and lots and lots. People who had skin diseases, people who couldn't see, people who couldn't hear, people who couldn't speak, people who couldn't move, people who couldn't walk. He even interrupted somebody's funeral one day and brought them back to life. Okay? What was he doing? He was showing that he had authority. He was the king of this world, of this broken world. He was the king. So that's another way. One last clue for you. Okay? This brings me back to our former years. A bath toy that we don't play with anymore. Okay? All right. It is a boat. Yeah. Any idea what that shows us? What I'm thinking about? He stilled the storm. He calmed the wind. And he stilled the waves. And experienced sailors were scared stiff. But he was able to speak just a few words and everything changed. He could control nature. He had authority over all kinds of sickness. And he could work miracles to feed lots of people. All these ways are ways that Jesus shows that he has authority. He's the king of this world. You know what, boys and girls, grown-ups too, it's not just he can do wonderful things. The Bible says that Jesus is building a kingdom. He's the king and he's inviting people in. And the idea is that he rules over not just nature, not just storms, not just sickness. He rules over people. He wants to become the king of people. And by showing he can do all these wonderful things, he's showing that we can trust him to be our king. Now, boys and girls, not everybody wants Jesus to be their king. It happened in Jesus' day. When Jesus was being crucified, they made a crown for him. Not a proper crown, but a crown to make fun of him. A crown of thorns. And they placed it on his head to hurt him and to laugh at him. They didn't want him as king then. And people still don't want him as king today. But boys and girls, grown-ups too, Jesus is the king. And one day, everybody will see that. This is what Jesus says about something that will happen in the future. Matthew records these words. When the Son of Man, that's a title that Jesus uses about himself, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious, what? His glorious throne, just like the king, okay? And Jesus goes on to tell how he will, those who have trusted him in life will be saved and rescued and be with him forever, and those who have refused him in life will be lost forever. That's what Jesus talks about in that part. And one day, everybody will see that Jesus is the king. There are lots of kings in the Bible. There are lots of kings around today. Some of them are better than others. But none of them are as good and as wise and as kind and as loving and as powerful as the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the reasons why he comes and shows he has power is to show us we can trust him to be our king, to rule our hearts. So that's the third job that Jesus does. He's not just a prophet who speaks God's words to us. He's not just a priest who goes to God with a sacrifice for our sin. He's a king who helps us to live his way and not our way. He helps us to live his way and not our way without him. Now then, just a few more minutes and then we'll finish the service. Can you remember what job that picture talks about for Jesus? What's the first job that we've looked at today that Jesus does? He's the prophet, okay? He speaks God's words to us. What's the second job? Can you remember without me showing you the picture? Can you remember? He's the priest, yeah. He stands between us and God and he makes us friends with God. He goes to God with a sacrifice for the guilt of our sin. And the last job, probably the easiest one to remember. King. He's the king. Okay? He helps us to live his way, not our way. Not like a lost sheep that wants it our way, but how he wants. Can I just talk to the grown-ups just for a few moments? In the passage I read at the start of the service, we talked about the ways in which Jesus changes us. He becomes to us the wisdom from God. In him we have righteousness. We're cleansed and clothed for Jesus. And in him we have sanctification and redemption. Those are two big ideas. But basically it means Jesus rules us, loves us, and will save us. Okay? At the end of the reading, we had these words. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. When you come to see Jesus as a prophet that we listen to, a priest who goes to God for us, as a king who rules us, you realize that there's nobody like him. That you're not the most important person in the world, but he is. And so we find ourselves thankful and rejoicing in him. We boast in God, not ourselves. That's what happens when we come to Jesus. But even as Christians, there are lots of Christians here this morning. As we grow as Christians, Jesus increasingly becomes our prophet. We increasingly listen to his voice. He increasingly becomes our priest. We our hearts are flooded with the assurance that he has died for us as a sacrifice for our sin. And our hearts are flooded with the idea, the truth, that he rules our lives for our good and so that we get to know him better. In other words, as we grow as Christians, we increasingly boast in God. He is great and we become smaller.